Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
So the House approves the aid for Ukraine and for Israel, for Taiwan, yet somehow we aren't taking care of the southern border. And yes, there is no question that Speaker Mike Johnson has put himself in peril. Do I mind that these aid bills went forward? No. Should they have gone forward without the bill on the border going first and saying, guys, we should do the other things, but this first? Speaker Mike Johnson says we have a responsibility. And I have members of Congress saying, ha ha, you MAGA people, you're never going to get your way. You mean, hey, anybody who wants to fund the border. This was Eric Swalwell. Hey, anyone who wants to fund the border, it's not going to happen. My God, how many Chinese spies can you not have sex with before you decide maybe the southern border matters? That's just nutty stuff. Angry, despicable. But these bills are out. They'll be all combined in the Senate. Democrats are like, look at the win. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at the thing. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
So two things. First, in this aid package that was approved, there is the possibility with the Ukraine aid that's now going forward, which will really be seen as bullets. If we're talking about ammunition, that'll be made here in the U.S. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. There's now a conversation, as Politico reports it, that the U.S. is thinking of sending additional military advisors to Ukraine. I don't know what this is supposed to mean. If you agree with or disagree with funding for Ukraine, that is one thing altogether. You might agree or disagree with funding for Ukraine if we haven't funded the southern border, right? You could be with me on that subject. But the idea of sending military advisors, what is it that we're trying to do, show, or prove? What is the objective here? What is it that we are trying to put together here? I would make the argument only that every single time this conversation comes up, we should be concerned. Anytime we're discussing Americans engaged in training in Ukraine, we should be concerned. I believe it is smart and it is proper to support Ukraine. I believe it is smart and proper to thwart Russian aggression. And Tucker Carlson is wrong. Of course there is Russian aggression. He's also wrong about the use of nuclear weapons. Oh, that conversation with Joe Rogan is making the rounds. He's just wrong, and I can debate it anywhere, and I could be fine with it. The idea that it was wrong to use Fat Man and Little Boy in Hiroshima and Nagasaki is not the proper argument. If you want to have a theoretical argument about how we never should have created a nuclear weapon, you can have that argument. You can. You can enjoy that all day. In the real world, this got done. And in the real world, you would have hundreds of thousands of more dead Americans in the Pacific. Well, you're okay with the idea that we bombed children. That is the argument of the political left. That is the argument of the child. I'm not okay with any of it. Which will bring us to Columbia University. I'm not okay with any of it. But I didn't start it. Now, all I want to do is talk about how to respond to it. And I believe one must respond with force. One does not respond with setting oneself on fire. The scene outside the courthouse where Donald Trump's trial is being held in New York, this nonsense trial about hush money payments, it's nonsense, got disrupted on Friday when a man set himself on fire. The video is flat out horrific. I watched it as I was sharing it on Tony Katz Today on Friday. I won't go back to it. It's horrific. The guy who did this was not protesting Trump per se. He was known as a conspiracy theorist. He was known as troubled and mentally ill. He was known to his family as such, and they did not know he had left the state of Florida. He then came up to New York and did this. There are pictures of him holding signs. Trump is with Biden and they're about to fascist coup us. Described himself as an investigative researcher, according to the reporting from the New York Post. He had written on Substack, "This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup." I'm telling you right now that I concern myself with one world government conversations. I concern myself with the Schwab. What is the guy who wants the one world? You know, producer Carl.
What, Klaus Schwab?
You know, Klaus Schwab?
Yeah.
Right. That guy is a lowlife. The guy who really believes that, you know, you'll own nothing and you'll be happier.
And eat the bugs.
Doubt it. But I certainly don't want this guy deciding. I don't think it's a reason to set oneself on fire. But a lot of people looked at this and said, "My God, look what Trump has led people to do." This is the second person to self-immolate. That's the terminology, immolate. I-M-M-O-L-A-T-E, self-immolate. We saw this with a soldier upset with how the United States was dealing with Israel. Shame on him. Never mind he took his life. He was also wrong. I say it without any hesitation whatsoever. So that's what happened outside of the Trump trial. What's happening at Columbia? What's happening at Yale? What's happening at Northwestern? Lord knows how many universities today It's just full on pogroms. And as they made it clear, this isn't just about Jews. They want to take out America. They're in at Yale. They're ripping down the American flag and screaming "Viva Palestina," which I'm pretty sure is cultural appropriation. I'm not sure. The jury is out. Someone's going to have to get back to me. But they're tearing down the American flag. At Columbia, they're holding signs in front of people who are pro-Israel and saying, "Hey, Hamas, here's your next targets." They're chanting, "We love you, Hamas." They're chanting, "Burn Tel Aviv to the ground." And, of course, the people on social media, no one's calling for death at Columbia. You're just a liar, Tony. Okay. Meanwhile, buy guns, buy ammo, and get trained. Why is Tony Katz of WIBC calling for violence? Let me take a moment, guys. I have been calling for people to buy guns, buy ammo, and get trained for years. And I believe that a society that is armed might give the bad guy a second thought. I believe the only way these things can be responded to is force. They take a look at somebody who is Jewish and they, because he's Orthodox, right? He's got the hat, he's got the suit, and therefore, not the kippah, not the head covering, an actual hat. And they say, "Orthodox Jew, stop him." They don't actually know. They just make an assumption. "You look like a Jew." And that's the way they say it, too. And then they stop these people from walking. Just like they'll stop you from driving on the Golden Gate Bridge, to which Bill Maher, he's got it absolutely right.
Now, then there's the people who don't want Israel to get any money. That's the pro-Palestinian protesters. They have been out this weekend. They were closing down bridges in San Francisco, New York, several other cities. That's their new thing, bridges. Get on the bridge and stop people from getting across the bridge. And the people are all saying, "I'm trying to get on the bridge. Where is a drifting cargo ship when you need one?"
Not a bad joke at all. Actually, if people are stopping you from moving, you're supposed to stop those people from stopping you. You're supposed to push right through them. You have a car, push right through them. They try and stop you from driving in Indianapolis by pulling a gun on you. Well, they should expect to get run over. I've only said so a million times. Someone's going to physically stop you from walking, walk right through them. These kinds of things haven't happened yet on campuses here in Indiana, and I hope they never do. But the moment will come where I'm going to have to say, I'm heading down to such and such a place or heading up to such and such a place, and I'm going to help people walk through a campus. Anybody want to join me? That's what's needed on the campus of Columbia, right there in New York. Except at Columbia, the rabbi there told students it's too dangerous to come back. Don't. The classes will be virtual today as Passover, Jewish holiday, a holiday that symbolizes breaking the bonds of slavery. Good holiday, by the way. It starts tonight. And at Columbia University, the Jewish students are being told it's too scary and too dangerous for you to be here. Jews today, Americans tomorrow. The question is, who do we want to win this thing? And how do you win it? Well, I believe the answer is force in a lot of different ways. And I will get into what that means this morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Something happening here. So Scott Dixon wins Long Beach. And then he's going to be with Hammer and Nigel. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Tales from the Track with Scott Dixon, May 20th at Vision Loft Stutz, presented by Relay Indiana. Did they put more tickets out for sale and kind of reconfigure the room? Because I don't know, I thought by like last week we were done. It was sold out, but I haven't gotten that message. So I don't know if they, because of the popularity, if they reconfigured things. This is Monday, May 20th, in 4:30 to 8:30. You've got a private viewing of the Stutz Museum, dinner with the cash bar. There are going to be door prizes. You'll hear from Scott Dixon. There's a Q&A, the meet and greet with a photo, and Hotel Tango providing the bourbon, their red, white, and bourbon that supports their American Legion Be the One initiative. Very cool stuff. This is May 20th. You can get your tickets at WIBC.com, and you should, because Dixon is the stuff of legend at this stage of the game. Yeah, so this is all there. Go to WIBC.com. Tales from the Track, presented by Relay Indiana. It's all there for you. As we have stated, we bring you the newest addition to Tony Katz and the Morning News. It is not a person. It is a segment that we call Tradio. We're going to have to come up with a name, and we're going to have to come up with a jingle, producer Carl. I spend a lot of time during the breaks looking at things like Facebook Marketplace. I would look at Nextdoor, but I really don't want to get involved in other people's drama. Because Nextdoor is where you go to completely be like absorbed into the system, and you become part of the matrix. Facebook Marketplace, you can still pull yourself out. But on Marketplace, I look at all these kinds of things that are for sale, and some of them are just nuts. This is the latest that's for sale. Being sold in Greensburg, Indiana, Matt Bear, you can get yourself an electric bacon cooker with different crispiness levels.
How much bacon can I get on that bacon cooker?
That's a great question. So it's called the Bacon Master. And I actually had to look it up to understand how it works. And it's almost like a pyramid, except it's a little more oval than that. And you lay the strips of bacon over it. And then you basically close it like a briefcase.
Oh, this
like
sucks.
They put this thing around it, and then it cooks your bacon. I think you can fit 6 strips.
Does it have a lock on it like a briefcase?
No. Oh, it's okay. Not like you carry it around with you, and then you're like fresh bacon wherever you are.
That'd be great.
It's the Bacon Master cooker. Here's the part I don't understand. It has a preheat function for thicker bacon. All right, I'm a little confused there. Then it has basically 6 ways you can heat it up, like 6 ways you can cook it, and 3 of them are traditional, and 3 of them are crispy. The question is, being Jewish, I may not have the answer. How is there anything but crispy bacon?
Well, it should have a third option, extra crispy, because that's the only way to cook bacon. You got to burn it. That's how you do it. No, it's you burn the
Ladies
toast for the BLT. You pick the tomato right off the tree, like those exist anymore.
And right, you pick the tomato right off the tree, even though it comes from a vine.
Yeah,
but sure,
yeah.
Keep going.
Hey, listen, I've seen tomato trees before, but you burn the bacon. You absolutely burn the bacon, and then it's the best. That's what you do.
You almost burn the bacon. You almost. You're right there.
It's fine line.
Right at the point of questionable. Bacon comes off, and that's the crispy bacon. But the point is, what is traditional? Crispy is traditional.
I think traditional, when they say that, it's like when you get into the diner, maybe a little bit soggy, you know, it's been sitting out underneath the heat lamp for a little bit. Sometimes that tastes really good, man.
If I'm sitting in a diner, and I'm getting a little bit soggy, I take the plate and I scream, I didn't order any of this, and I throw it. Preferably in the direction of a small child. And I say, enjoy your soggy bacon, little child.
Oh, yeah, the children. Poor Irma. She wanted was a tip, a $5 tip, and she got bacon thrown at her.
But I love the fact that in your world, it's not that the poor little kid just got bacon thrown in their face. It's that the waitress's name is Irma.
Yeah, the kid will be fine.
Dot is busy on break or something. Oh, that's terrific.
The kid can grow out of it.
The electric bacon cooker. It is available out of Greensburg, Indiana for $10. Get it before it's too late. That's on Facebook Marketplace. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wing of the bluebird as she sings.
So you're going to hear a bunch about Trump and the courts this week. Because the jury is set in this nonsense trial. The charges brought against him by the district attorney in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, the hush money case, he paid off Stormy Daniels not to say anything. No one cares. Well, he broke the law. No, he didn't. Well, he wrote the check from the wrong account. That's a misdemeanor. But Alvin Bragg is going after this case like it's a felony. Yes, he's abusing the legal system to go after his political enemies. Proud now? Glad we worked that all out. Did I say hello, Tony Katz? 93 WIBC, good morning. I forget. I think the voice was fine yesterday, and I think it will be fine. I think it just, this was a weird morning. I have 34 pounds of brisket on the smoker right now, and that involved being up at midnight, and then at 2, and then at 4. So I think that's it. Like, I feel great. I feel like $1 million. So if I sound weird, it's the price you pay. For brisket people, it's the price you pay. So the trial is opening because they now got the alternate jurors, the 12 on the jury, 6 alternates, and you can be sure that there's going to be madness. You can be sure that people are going to leave that jury. You also have Trump saying gag order. We don't need no stinking gag order. And he is just, oh, he wants to talk. He wants to say things. He has no interest at all on being silent. He has absolutely no interest. This scam rush trial taking place in a 95% Democrat area is a planned and coordinated witch hunt that could have been brought 8 years ago, but everybody passed. Instead, they waited and brought it right in the middle of my presidential campaign against the worst and most incompetent president ever, crooked Joe Biden. Well, that part is true. That's not even a debate. Like Trump, don't like Trump, it doesn't matter. That part is true. The timing of this trial and all the others is purely political from a Democratic Party that wants to tell the rest of us how to be decent. They don't want to tell the protesters at Columbia, these Gestapo types, how to be decent. They no. They won't stand up for that. But everybody else, you know, they'll tell you. But this is not the only case involving Trump. The Supreme Court will hear the oral argument on whether a former president, specifically Donald Trump, is immune to federal criminal charges. Now, I commend you to taking a look at SCOTUS blog, S-C-O-T-U-S, SCOTUSblog.com. I think it's excellent. And when decisions come, like when they start announcing decisions, this is where you go because they post decisions and analysis in a live feed, right? So in real time. It is outrageously geeky. I get it. But it is amazing because my view is with SCOTUS blog, it's very, I mean, certainly people are generally commenting and people can leave comments, but people who actually do follow the law and understand the intricacies of the law, they're commenting, they're sharing, and it's just a fascinating deep dive. It really is something. So in the final oral arguments going on for this term, they're going to be hearing the case about criminal immunity. And what's before the justices is whether Trump can be tried on criminal charges that he conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election. So the trial from that's in front of U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, the one being brought by Jack Smith, that's on hold right now. And this from SCOTUS will determine whether it can go forward. And certainly could have an effect on whether the trials in Florida and Georgia can proceed. The one that we're talking about with this hush money is something that happened before Trump was president. Therefore, a decision here would have no bearing, it seems, on that case. I don't know how, based on the little bit that I know about the case, I don't know how the Supreme Court's going to say, no, you can't bring something against a former president. I don't know how presidential immunity prevents cases from being brought against a former president. But that would be different than whether or not specific cases can be brought against a former president. That's a different subject. A case being brought versus the specifics of a case. And I don't know how the Supreme Court is going to say, here are specifics that can't be brought. That's my first take. I don't know how they're going to make that level of differentiation. I don't know how you do it. So I find myself thinking they're going to say, yeah, of course you can bring a case. And then each case being different, it would have to be decided and judged on its merits. And it's possible that some cases could be thrown out because the president does have certain levels of, well, this is what it takes to do the job. I think that'd be rational for a Republican or a Democrat. The problem we have politically is that we have those who believe that nothing is rational for a Republican and anything goes for a Democrat. That's very clearly part of the issue. So we'll hear the oral arguments today. I'm very curious to see how it does get discussed, what questions the court asks back, and specifically who is asking questions. Do we hear a lot from Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sotomayor? Or are we going to hear a lot from Kavanaugh and Gorsuch? Will we hear from Clarence Thomas at all, who famously never asked questions until the death of Antonin Scalia, and then he said, okay, I guess somebody's got to step in.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Interesting report from over there at Fox 59, where Angela Gnote is reporting that families at IPS 87, they are getting an email, a notification that the principal and the assistant principal will not be at school. This is what it reads. Principal Capco and assistant principal Rent will not be at school as the district continues to gather information regarding school climate at George Washington Carver 87. And as we offer opportunities for families and students to be a part of stakeholder interviews in the coming days. I don't know what this means. What does it mean by school climate? I don't know what that is referring to. But there is a story about a child being harmed, and there is a petition, it seems, to get administrators removed at the George Washington Carver Montessori School 87. Want to get more information about this story, get an understanding of what exactly is being alleged here and being pushed here, and is this like one of those situations where all the parents are on board? Very curious, right? Sometimes you see things come across the transom and you're not sure what you take from it when it comes from Angela Gnote, who I think actually does solid work and shares very good stories. I'm paying attention. So we're going to keep our eye on that story, see what it is that we learn. And as we know, the House passed the aid packages for Ukraine and for Israel and for Taiwan. Sadly, nothing for the border. But the question before us is, did they also inadvertently or purposefully end TikTok? Because in the legislation, it gives ByteDance, which is a Chinese company, up to a year to sell TikTok, or the app is banned in the U.S. This was part of a vote that passed 360-58. So this is happening. Unless the Senate's going to pass legislation that doesn't have it. But then it would go back to the House. Oh, it's going to be a mess. Going to be a mess. But then again, so is this passing of this of these aid bills. And this might mean that Mike Johnson is in the hot seat and you could see removal. Maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's outraged, will engage a motion to vacate the chair. I think it's a bad idea. But then again, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene's a bad idea. And as for Thomas Massie joining in, oh, Lord, hell, I don't know what's wrong with Thomas Massie. Between this and the anti-Israel fervor, he could be a squad member at this stage of the game. Good Lord. So there's a lot to keep an eye on, things that have passed this weekend, but still, nothing on the border. This is the problem. And people have every issue, every reason to be infuriated. I'm one of those people. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I know I stand in line until you think you have.
We give it a few minutes to clear this area. The points of egress are High Street or Wall Street. No one will stop you from leaving. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. We will give you time to leave. If you do not leave, you will be arrested.
That's Yale University, where the Jew haters are out in force, the America haters are out in force, and they're starting these encampments. At Yale, they tear down the American flag. At Yale, they scream out, Viva Palestina. Which I guess is, you know, like Palestine lives, but in Spanish. It's cultural appropriation. I just haven't figured out how it works yet. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. At Northwestern University, the dean of students attends a protest targeting the Jewish community center on campus. Her name is Mona Dugo. At a rally where the protesters said the school weaponizes anti-Semitism to silence pro-Palestinian activism. Kids, we're not talking about some kid on the college campus who hates Jews. We're talking about people who are preventing people who they think are Jewish from walking down the street. about actually pushing, physically removing people from their campus who scream their support for Hamas, a terrorist organization. We're not talking about free speech here. We're talking about a bunch of lowlifes across the country who have been radicalized through a school system. If you ever wanted a reason to break education in two, where the hell do you think this comes from? All of a sudden they get to this college campus and they think like this? No, they've always thought like this. Failure of education, failure of parents, and failure of us to stop the other failures. And they find the like-minded folk, and they're rewarded by their radicalized, disgusting, despicable, low-life professors for doing so. Of course they're low-lifes. Well, they're just expressing themselves. No, they're not. They're physically stopping people from walking. They're physically going after people. This girl at Yale got stabbed with a Palestinian flag in the eye. It is only hours before Jews start getting killed on the streets. And yet I have these Jewish students who talk about how they're afraid. And at Columbia University, the rabbi there states, well, it's too dangerous to be here. It's too dangerous to be here. So don't come back to school. Don't come back to school. It's too. As a matter of fact, virtual classes on Monday. Monday night starts Passover. Big holiday. That's tonight. Don't come back to school. Guys, if the students at Columbia, the Jewish students and any student, isn't safe, don't go back ever. Quit. Go somewhere else. You're going to go back in the fall? Why? Because your dad did? Your dad was probably a schmuck. But in case he was a decent guy, it doesn't mean Columbia is for you. Would I tell people if IU was doing this to this level to go back to IU? Of course not. Or any other university in the state of Indiana. But there's also a different argument that has to come about. It is the same argument that when people block traffic or when they try and destroy art, or when they pull guns on you in downtown Indianapolis for driving down a street they decide you're not allowed to drive down. Those people should expect to get hurt. This is the conversation about force. And I want it known that I am not going to stop having what I consider to be the only conversation. We do not hide from things here, guys. I won't do it. And you have seen enough from these protests, whether it be at Columbia or whether it be at Northwestern or Yale, to know that this isn't about Jews. This is about America. They want to destroy America too. These are radicalized people. These are people who don't believe in the promise of America, and they absolutely will hurt your kids when given the chance. They'll hurt you when given the chance. They've proven it. Well, Tony, they're not punching people. It's not the same as Charlottesville. Yes, it is. The difference between the protesters at Charlottesville and the protesters at Columbia is the tiki torches. That's the difference. Well, a woman died at Charlottesville. Yes, involving somebody driving down the street. Not involving the people holding the tiki torches. The people doing stuff like this, this call and response freak show.
Attention, everyone. Can I get everyone to form a human chain right here, please? We have Zionists
that
have entered.
My turn!
Repeat after me.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
What's the difference between those protesters in Columbia and the ones in Charlottesville? Nothing except the tiki torches. So don't tell me these people are good and decent and all that jazz. Is that what I'm going to hear? There were, decent people on both sides. At the New York Times, you know what the headline is? At Columbia, the protests continued with dancing and pizza. Dancing and pizza. They want to start human chains to move Jews out of the campus. This is the conversation of force. In this moment, and I am sorry this moment is here, although there are many of us who knew this moment was coming and are still stunned that there are people who are actually saying they didn't know it would ever come. If you didn't know it was going to come, you lied to yourself, and I'm sorry you did that. But here we are, so let's talk about the now. Your choice is simple. It is them or it is us. Choose. I choose us. And if they want to stop people from walking, I believe 5,000 people have to gather and walk right through those people in their human chain. And I think that if people want to block a bridge, you got to bring a bulldozer in and move those people out of the way. Those are not people engaged in free speech or engaging their First Amendment rights. Those are violent people who want to utilize the social contract against others and want to intimidate others. And the answer is no, because that is not speech. That is violence, and it should be met with force. It cannot stand that people can be screaming, "Hey, Hamas, this should be your next target," to a bunch of Jews hanging out on the quad and think that, well, you know, they're just talking. It is us or it is them. And for suburban white women, allow me to explain to you that everything that you see in Columbia, that's what they're going to do to your kids when they get to name the college, even in Indiana. It is us or it is them. Choose. I choose us. And already I get on social media pushback. Are you asking for violence? Are you condoning violence? No. No, what I'm trying to do is put an end to the nonsense by letting everybody know that Americans won't accept certain things. And they won't accept threats, and they won't accept the intimidation. They won't accept Americans being told where to walk, whether they agree with them or not. Why do you say buy guns, buy ammo, and get trained? I don't know. Seems like good advice. I've been saying it for years. But it is us or it is them. The free and thinking people of the world, or these violent, despicable lowlifes who think they can stop you from walking down the street, who think they can intimidate their way to some level of success. There's no more time to discuss. Just pick a side, and we can go from there.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. Girls as sharp as her are something rare.
Find all the interviews with all the gubernatorial candidates at WIBC.com. I sat with all six Republicans one-on-one. Ask the questions, very pointed. Let them answer. You can hear it for yourselves. That primary is coming up May 7th. May 7th, right? May 7th is the Indiana primary? I've got that right. I don't want to get it wrong. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is May 7th. And you should check it all out. Check it all out at WIBC.com as I sit down with all the gubernatorial candidates right there. It's a good thing to do. There was a story about pesticide. I do pay attention to the food things. Food things are important things. That pesticides are in 20% of fruit. Now, is that the price you pay for having a whole bunch of fruit? Because you can walk into a supermarket, we have a tremendous amount of fruit. Two-thirds of foods posed little pesticide risk, this reporting from News Nation, the analysis from Consumer Reports. 20% of the most commonly consumed fruits and vegetables in the U.S. We've been eating these things for a while. Is that the reason why kids have low testosterone? Is that the reason for a whole bunch of things? Possibly. Is it the price you pay for having an abundance of food? Or is the price you pay the increased prices at Chipotle? This has people confounded. Chipotle prices have gone up. I've got the, I had the chart here. Was it 36%? And yet people still go to Chipotle. They're just going left and right. They've had six price increases since 2021. And yet they continue to grow. They're still below pre-pandemic levels. Well, that could be true of places that are, let's say, in downtowns, and the downtowns don't have the people because people still think that remote working has any value. The only person who has successfully made remote work work is me. I am it. I am the example. I am the ground zero of remote work working. In every other case, well, I should say the vast majority of cases. I don't think I could say every other case. So Chipotle is outpacing McDonald's, Starbucks, everybody else. Better than expected earnings for four straight quarters. Full disclosure, I own no Chipotle stock. That's kind of nutty. They raised the prices six times and it's still working. It's a burrito. Is it the Chipotle brand? Which is super weird because a couple years ago, they had all those issues within the brand with their food. And it was like, okay, no one's ever going there again. Well, look who's still around. And look who clearly needs to get into the burrito business. I mean, that's what we're learning, right? Get into the burrito business and do it now before it's too late. Because I think I exactly how difficult is this? And if you don't go to Chipotle, where do you go for a burrito? For tacos, that's easy. It's Chris's Tacos in Nora. That's easy. Settled. Science. But where do you go? Where do you go for a good? Where do you go for a good taco? I'm asking. I am curious. Because who doesn't use a good burrito, a good taco? Let me know where to go on X. At Tony Katz. Oh, and by the way, I'm being told here that this man's wife is a very successful remote worker. You're not the only one. Yes, I am. See, that's how you respond on social media. And that supposedly makes a conversation. And then you get the win and you own the left or whatever it is. I'm glad your wife is doing well with it. I think that's fantastic. Fantastic. Tell her if she worked a little harder, you could be a kept man. Which is, by the way, my dream. Oh, you have your fetish, I have mine. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
You keep saying you got something for me.
The expression is when someone tells you who they are, believe them. Right, I always, that's not, is that Maya Angelou? I forget who gets the credit for that, because it wasn't me. When someone tells you who they are, shows you who they are, believe them. It's like, I believe that these goons on college campuses are radicalized bigots who want to burn it all down and need to be met with force. It is Maya Angelou. Okay, so I got that right. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Sometimes you don't have to think about it anymore. They are who they are. This is in Massachusetts. This is the transportation secretary in Massachusetts. And is having a conversation about how to kind of grow opportunities. And, well, it's everything you would expect. When they tell you who they are, believe them. The transportation secretary, by the way, is Monica Tibbetts-Nutt. That is her name. And let's hear what she has to say.
We're not censoring this. I'm going to talk about tolling. I'm going to talk about charging TNCs more. I'm going to talk about potentially charging more for package deliveries, charging more for payroll tax, basically going after everybody who has money.
When the Democrats tell you who they are, believe them. I'll try raising this. I'll try raising that. You get a package delivered. I think you should pay for that. The government should get some kind of cut. Going after everyone who has money. That's a story. Understand how you are viewed. And it's not just in Massachusetts. Of course, it's right here. Understand how you are viewed. You are viewed as a tool to be utilized for their desires, not as a citizen who should be able to follow your own course. They should not do with less. You should do with less. And you should be ashamed of yourself for having as much as you do. Honestly, the world that they work in, that they live in, it's just a terrible world. It is radical. And they're proud of it. And they see it as moral. This is the part that is, I think, so incredibly important for us to just start turning the corner on. They're not moral. It is an indecent thing to say, I'm the government and you owe me. They decide that there are 9,000 things that they have to spend money on. None of these things are actually the function of government, and you should write the check and shut up about it. Now, this is Massachusetts. I don't care what they do in Massachusetts to the people of Massachusetts. That's for the people of Massachusetts to deal with. Then again, the people of Massachusetts were okay with electing a murderer to Senate term after term after term. So I'm not expecting too much. They have shown me that they are not super interested in making rational changes. Meanwhile, students are getting arrested at on the campus of Yale University because they've got they've set up this encampment of just hatred writ large. It's Jews, it's Americans, it's anybody who's arguing with them because, you know, they're protesting for Lord only knows what. And also tearing down American flags and also screaming, Viva Palestina. I don't know. And then at Columbia University, they're just keeping you from walking down the street if you're Jewish or they think you're Jewish. It's like the UK. Did you see that video in the UK where the police stopped the man because they thought he looked Jewish and there was a pro-Hamas rally going on and they thought this guy would create a problem. So they told him he couldn't walk. Now everything's fine. Except it's not fine. And that's why we have to stand up and choose us or them. I'll get more into it on Tony Cash Today.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
So the House does what Speaker Mike Johnson said he would do. Separate bills providing aid for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and on the border. But yet the border legislation isn't there. That's not passing. Some Democrats were cheering that. Haha, MAGA, you lose. What a weird thing to say. It's America that loses. The children of liberals lose alongside the children of conservatives. Weird, weird people who see victory in a very different way than you and I. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. The phone number, 317-239-9393. But aid for Ukraine, which will actually mean bullets for Ukraine that are made here in the U.S. It is what it means. But I'm with you. Before the border, we have to be a country that could do multiple things at the same time. But we're not doing that. That's the whole point. Don't tell me that we could do multiple things at the same time and then not do the multiple things. We're only doing one thing. Why is it that I have members of Congress saying, you know, what is it, Slava Ukraine or something like that? I'm Ukrainian, go Ukraine. But they're not feeling that way about their own country. It is the weirdest, grossest thing around. And I'm a guy who supports aid for Ukraine. We've had this disagreement for months now. It's beyond understanding. Aid for Israel? Of course I support aid for Israel. Not before the border. But there it is. There it is, as clear as day. Now, as Politico was reporting, we're going to start sending advisors to Ukraine. We're going to tell me about these advisors. We're going to teach the Ukrainians how to fight. We're going to teach them how to use weaponry. And how many advisors? Are these advisors armed? What do these advisors do? I have many, many questions. But that's not the only story out there. Of course, you saw this this maddening, ugly story of someone setting themselves on fire outside the Trump trial on Friday. And it's, you watch the video at your own peril. Really do. It's horrifying. It is horrifying. I am not so desensitized by imagery to not stare at that and say, my God, that's actually happening to a human being. This person is a conspiracy theorist. Was known as a to have mental issues to the family. The family did not know that this guy left Florida. Thought that Trump and Biden were working together to bring about a fascist coup and decided that this was a moment of protest and set himself on fire. He died from his injuries, which, how could he have not died from his injuries, I think is the question. Just horrific stuff. And of course, if you follow me on X, you'll find people who are telling me, Viva Palestina, which I'm pretty sure is cultural appropriation. But they are these Hamas supporters, terrorist supporters, who not only believe in the end of Israel and the end of Jews, but in the end of you. So if you're not Israeli and if you're not Jewish, don't worry, you're not being left out. They're proud. Look at all the violence on the campus of Columbia. You can't show any violence. Here's a video. Nope, that's not enough. Here's a video. Nope, that's not enough. Here's a photo. Nope, that's not enough. Okay. Okay. Sure. It's nutty. And it has to be responded to. These people are indecent. We are decent. Let's go prove it. It's us or them. That's the world we're in. That's what they have said do. Let's go do. They support terrorists. They cheer Hamas. They cheer the destruction of other countries. If you don't push back, they keep thinking that they could do things. Of course they should be arrested on these campuses. I'd bring in bulldozers. But, you know, I'm a throwback. Tony Katz, that is me, by the way. What's up, everybody? Good to be with you. 93 WIBC, good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Unemployment stays flat in the state of Indiana. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Unemployment at 3.5%. But the labor force participation rate down 0.2%. But still above the national rate. Tony Katz. Good to be with you. Gary Dick joins us inside IndianaBusiness.com on the X there at IIB. Personally, at Gary Dick, G-E-R-R-Y, at Gary Dick on X. Let's get into a little bit of this, unemployment rate in the state of Indiana. You've got the Indiana Department of Workforce Development saying 3,300 private sector jobs added in the month of February. This is the latest that you've got there. Indiana feeling good about this number holding steady at 3.5?
I think so. But at the same time, and I think this is kind of getting to your point, filling jobs continues to be a big issue. In that report you referenced, Tony, the DWD says that the state had over nearly 106,000 open job postings as of mid-month, 106,000 job openings. So there are lots of jobs out there, and companies continue to be challenged with trying to match their openings with available talent. And in some cases, it's a very challenging thing for them to do.
Well, challenging it might be, but one has to overcome challenges. Where is the feel that is coming? Is this something that's about Indiana specific, or is this about the nationwide marketplace that right now this is just the way it is? There are still openings, there's still opportunities. No, you don't have people engaging in the quitting and the moving around as they used to, and you have some people, and some especially in the world of tech, that have downsized. So just expect this to be the way it is for a while.
Perhaps, but I think the other piece, as you mentioned, is Indiana's not alone. Virtually every state in the country is facing similar conditions when it comes to workforce and workforce development and getting the jobs filled that are indeed open. You know, you've got a number of initiatives going on at the state level in terms of career pathways and a number of things that are going to take time to play out. I'm not going to solve the problem overnight. The retraining of workers here in Indiana is a big piece of that. As you look at the big announcement, SK Hynix, the big Korean company, microelectronics company that recently announced a massive investment, $4 billion, 1,000 jobs in Lafayette and West Lafayette, Purdue University. How are you going to fill those jobs? Where are they going to come from? And a lot of those jobs, I think this is the piece kind of to, not to get sidetracked here, Tony, but you know, a lot of these jobs we're talking about don't necessarily require a four-year degree in these microelectronics and semiconductor areas. In some cases, some of these plants, depending on the type of plant it is, maybe two-thirds of the jobs don't require a four-year degree. They do require credentialing and certifications and education beyond high school, to be sure, but not four-year degrees. So those are the kinds of jobs that Indiana is really trying to fill.
Talking to Gary Dick from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. You are calling it over there at InsideIndianaBusiness.com. You're calling it the Caitlin Clark effect. Of course, the number one pick in the WNBA draft, the college phenom from the University of Iowa. The ratings have followed her everywhere she has gone. She's here in Indianapolis. What is this effect economically, and is there a belief that it can last?
Great questions, and a lot of guessing going on right now in terms of the effect and the impact, and a lot of people lining up and trying to leverage what is expected to be big impact from Caitlin Clark coming. Look at Visit Indy, the visitors organization here in Indianapolis. They're already running ads in Des Moines, Iowa, her former hotbed, if you will, in the state of Iowa. Not a long drive. They're marketing Indianapolis as a place to come watch her play. You look at what is happening in arenas around the WNBA. A number of teams are switching arenas in advance of playing the Fever. I think the Las Vegas Aces, the latest team, they play typically, I think, in an arena that seats maybe 4,200 fans. They're going to an arena that seats 20,000. Actually, that's the Washington franchise for that one. So lots of impact. And again, Tony, the visibility, the impact that she's going to get. The Fever had one nationally televised game last year. This year, 36 of 40 games will be on national television or a national platform in the upcoming season. And that's all visibility for Indianapolis and Indiana as well.
The 36 out of the 40 games is something we've talked about and reported on. There's a conversation that has to come with this about how one manages the expectations. There's the expectation of the fan. There's the expectation of the team. There's the expectation of the city. What are you hearing about is the moment, if X, then Y? So let me give it to you two ways. If they lose the first 10 games, expect a drastic fall off and you won't be selling out games. You'll have real issues with people buying in to the WNBA. But if they win the first 10 games or they have a winning record 2 weeks, 3 weeks in to the season, expect the prices to go up, expect the opportunities to grow up, and expect them to start building on it for next year. Is there, as you have talked to people, a moment of here's the threshold in either direction, and if they cross the threshold in either direction, man, that's good things or terrible things.
Yeah, and I don't know that there are any metrics being established at this point, but your point is a good one, and managing expectations. Because the expectations now, based on the media coverage and what we're seeing and what we're hearing in terms of jersey sales and ticket prices, all those things, it's all off the charts. It's all huge. And there's going to be, let's face it, there'll be a lot of pressure on Caitlin Clark to perform and to live up. And as soon as she has a bad game or a bad, couple of games, whatever the case might be for a rookie coming into a professional league, the doubters and the haters and all those who are already out and have been will really come out. So how is that handled? We'll see. And I think the other piece of it for the Indiana Fever, which I think is a positive or bodes well, is you've got a dynamic player like Aaliyah Boston who's on the team as well. So you've got some pieces on the team that would seem to indicate this is going to be an exciting Indiana Fever team that they put on the floor. And we'll see how it plays out. But in this, especially in this social media age, where expectations, if you don't meet expectations, boy, you're attacked, and it's a very negative situation. So managing those expectations, you're right, I think will be an important thing going forward.
Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on X at IIB. Follow him there.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way. What's going on, everybody? 93 WIBC, good morning. Dow futures up 190, NASDAQ futures up 74. I think you've got some announcements this week in the tech world. Tesla is down because electric vehicle makers are slashing prices. Lots of competition, not as many buyers. Here we are. Nobody shocked. Nobody shocked by this. U.S. crude, whether it be the Brent or the West Texas Intermediate, is about $80+ a barrel, about 83, and not going up because Iran has said, yeah, Israel sent some rockets this way. We're not going to do anything about it because they can't. But it certainly is settling the oil markets. 83, by the way, way higher than the 70s that it was at. And if you are buying a gallon of gas in Indiana, you're paying $3.67. That's what I did yesterday. It's cheaper in other places because our gas taxes are just, well, ridiculous. Something we've known for a good long while. And then you have the Trump trial set for opening statements today. You also have at the Supreme Court where they're going to discuss the idea of immunity. President Trump saying, you can't bring charges against me for things done as president. I have presidential immunity. It's a very interesting conversation. Understand we are talking about two different things here. We are not discussing whether or not the cases brought against Trump are legit. We're not discussing whether the cases brought against Trump are have been brought at a certain time to influence an election. I think there's a lot about these cases that is illegitimate, and I think every single one of them was brought to influence an election. That's why I don't allow these people to lecture to us when they talk about decency and the rule of law. They don't give a good holy damn about the rule of law. They don't, for the record. But the idea of whether or not charges could be brought against a former president, well, that's in and of itself an interesting idea. When you're president, you may do, like, for example, if you're president and you are to respond to an act of aggression, can somebody charge you with a war crime? I'm creating just a grandest of examples. It could be 100 reasons why that is not the case. But what is it that a president can be charged with? I would think it odd that somehow a former president is immune from prosecution. But this isn't a conversation about the president doing something ipso facto. For example, this case regarding hush money and Stormy Daniels. This is going forward because this happened before he was president. Nothing about him being in the presidency would change that. Is this an argument that if he was president, anything he did after the presidency would somehow be off limits too? I think it's a question of how things are decided and then how things, you know, how someone could play it out. I just cannot imagine the situation by which everything a president does cannot be charged. we're going to hear some arguments today about this. And none of it changes the fact that what he has been charged with, the nonsense going on in New York, and it is total nonsense that this is all political. You want even more nonsense? The people over there at MSNBC decided to have Al Sharpton, the original Jew hater, interviewing Stacey Abrams, the original election denier, and said, hey, this is really important news.
We have to remember that every victory, built into every victory, are the seeds of defeat. But also built into every defeat are the seeds of victory. We have seen victory, but we cannot rest on that victory and think that it is impermeable and impervious to harm. What we know is that the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy, it's an attack on education, it's an attack on how our economy works.
No, it's not. This is a ridiculous conversation that MSNBC puts out there as if somehow it matters. Doesn't matter what Stacey Abrams says. She has no impact on elections. This is now extremely obvious, although she did a lot of effort in trying to register people to vote, make sure that the Republican Party is trying to register everybody they can. And talking to Al Sharpton, who offers nothing, zero, in terms of intellectual heft. This is about resurrecting once again a career, pretending that Stacey Abrams is important. It's why they put her on Star Trek as like the president of the universe. I don't know if you remember that. Like that was the character she played. Oh, adorbs. DEI is bigotry. DEI is hate. And I'm so glad to see more and more places doing away with the nonsense. This is the Wall Street Journal. Diversity goals are disappearing from companies' annual reports. Good, because it's all nonsense. Hire good people. Hire people based on quotas? Disgusting. See the difference? Glad we did. Hire good people. Hire smart people. Hire people who bring perspective. Hire people who help build the business. Hire people you like. DEI is good, DEI is bigotry, and Stacey Abrams and Al Sharpton love bigotry. That's the purpose of the interview. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
Tonight you're mine completely.
Oh, I like the old school. WIBC, good morning. The stories are regarding Columbia University and the bigotry, again, that's going to continue. Those stories are not going away. And I'd be certainly a fool if I didn't cover them, but I'd also equally be a terrible host if I wasn't talking about the other things that are going on. Like, for example, the FBI warning that Chinese hackers are preparing to physically wreak havoc on U.S. critical infrastructure. The hackers want to induce panic. Waiting for just the right moment to deal a devastating blow. According to the reporting, this hacking campaign is known as Vault Typhoon. It's embedded itself in several American critical infrastructure companies that include telecommunications, energy and water, and others. Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs says Vault Typhoon is a criminal ransomware group not related to the government. Huh. If I may, how these stories relate, the story about these hackers and the stories about college campuses. Just like Chinese nationals and us putting an end to student visas, I don't care if they pay full freight. I don't care if the college doesn't get their money. Don't care. And I say that to every university in the state of Indiana. I don't care if you get Chinese national money or not. We should put an end to almost all, if not all, foreign student visas. None. We have a radicalness issue in the country that needs to be resolved. That problem becomes exacerbated when you allow people from other nations that don't hold American values at all and let them be part of this campus world. What does it matter to me if the professors are happy or the administrators or these radicalized students? You simply can't run a country like this. We shared the numbers last week that Brett Baer put out and Bill Melugin and Griff Jenkins confirmed. 24,000 Chinese nationals coming illegally across the border. That doesn't include those coming through lawful points of entry. And the vast majority of them are single men. And we're letting them into the country. That's insane. That is dangerous. That's crazy and destructive for a nation. How many Americans could just enter China illegally? The answer is zero. Thank you, Cleveland. Good night. Say no. Turn them back. Who cares if they're happy? What is China going to say? You can't fly them back here? Sure we can. We have airplanes and parachutes. You figure it out. Tell Xi Jinping not to get tough. We think you're a paper tiger punk, and we're willing to prove it. Except we have an administration that won't prove it, will they? Elections matter. And it needs to be stated that while there are times that we can agree on the political right, that the Republican Party does not do it right, this idea that both parties are exactly the same is untrue. Untrue. You cannot be happy. You can be bothered. You should voice it. You should apply pressure where you think it needs to. But you can't make this claim. You just sound silly. There is a difference. And the difference is great. And our job is to make sure that the difference gets clearly enunciated so people know that there are choices. Our lack of leadership, our lack of willingness, creates the issue at the border, creates the issue on the campuses. I've got Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, saying what's happening in Columbia is unacceptable. You mean where they stop Jews from walking? Where they scream that Hamas is great and chant for Hamas? Unacceptable. Send in 17 bulldozers and put an end to the madness. They go virtual classes today at Columbia University because it's too dangerous for Jewish students. And the chief rabbi at the school says, don't come back. It's too dangerous. Don't come back. Well, one of two things has to happen at that moment. Either no Jewish student goes back to Columbia ever. Go to yeshiva. This has been an argument of friends of mine who went to yeshiva. As a matter of fact, Yeshiva University should be offering up scholarships. Go there. But don't go back. If it's too dangerous, don't go back. Break the university in half. Or how about you gather 5,000 people and you just walk through their blockades? This is the conversation that is necessary about something called force. I will dig into it on Tony Katz today at noon. I will catch you then. Happy Passover, my people.